Please come to order. Let us, the record show that Representative Miller, Representative Locker, Representative Phillips, Representative Booth, Representative Cato are here. We have before us today three bills having to do with the fuel tax. We are not going to take any action on these bills. We will be trying to do a comparison. You have a comparison sheet before you in your backup material. We want to take testimony, do a comparison on the bills. Ultimately, they come pretty much to the same thing. However, one of them has to do with only the watercraft motor fuel tax. The other two have to do with motor fuel tax per se. I would like to have Terry Martin, we'll talk on 55, and Representative Martin is here. And would you like to address your bill, sir?
Thank you, Chairman Cato. The major reason I introduced this bill is to hopefully have a balance in the cost of living, and also to balance out what the federal government has done in the increase to our fuel taxes, whereas I rationalize what the federal government is doing in hopes of building up the roads, and also it will very much benefit Alaskans. I also feel that we have an opportunity, if we have so much money now that we're in a fight for how to give it away, the basic philosophy is not to take it in the first place if you don't need it. And in this case here, the gasoline tax at the pump, everyone is paying 8 cents a gallon, and I doubt that most people realize it. Originally, the bill was intended to repeal the tax completely, but in talking with U.S. Senator Stevens, we found out that we may have a problem in doing that, and that we may deprive ourselves of federal revenue sharing dollars. And with the new program, Madam Cato, Alaska will do even better than what we've done in the past, so we don't want to jeopardize that. And that's the reason why the senator recommend that we'll have no trouble decreasing the state tax at 5 cents a gallon to 3 cents. But if we repeal it outright, then we probably will sacrifice ourselves quite a bit. Also, there's no doubt that this would be a significant step forward in Alaska's cost of living, not only for the average citizen at the gas pump, but your truck drivers, hauling freight, hauling housewares, hauling fruits and vegetables. Our schools would definitely, and local cities would see a decrease, supposedly, as I understand it, in the, like the university budget right now, whether it be Valdez, whether it be Kotzebue in northern Alaska, we see the new cost factor in the university system called extraordinary inflation. And a lot of this has to do with the fuel tax, or not fuel tax, but with the fuel cost. Here again, we can almost by 5% wipe it out. And it seems to me that we're going through a lot of paperwork, picking up monies that we don't need in the first place. So with that short explanation, I certainly leave myself open to questions, Madam Chairman.
Are there some questions of Representative Martin? Representative Locker?
I would just like to say, Mr. Martin, that I have some concern about eliminating taxes, because anyone that has really gotten into the budget like you have realizes that some of these appear to be a nuisance, but reinstituting them once they're removed, like the permanent fund dividend, repealing it, or instituting the state income tax, and it's only a matter of time till we have to do that. Do you still think that it would be prudent at this time to make up, if you will, for the 5 cents that the federal government is putting on the tax?
Madam Chairman,
yes.
May, thank you. Yeah, you always have that problem with where you want that bouncing ball to go. One of the things I've felt in the long run is that Alaskans have a real good golden opportunity to almost clean the slate, so to speak, so that people over the past few years who have been taxed directly or indirectly have been paying for programs they don't necessarily agree with or even know where the money's going. eventually when we come into a situation when the oil monies do decrease, as we see now, when perhaps we may consider sale taxes, we may consider renewing the personal income tax, then people and politicians are truly going to say, what are we using the money for? They're going to really evaluate the program. In this case here, I don't want to repeal the law so that we can increase it without too much problems, a penny, 2 pennies, a gallon, whatever the legislators in those days feel is necessary. But right now, it's more than reasonable, I think, Representative Locker, to keep the cost of living down in Alaska. And this is one major step, I think, that we can adjust with our brothers and sisters in the Southern 48 in our balance of cost of living. To me, is a simple way, maybe it's too simple, to try to normalize our cost of living with our sister states.
Let me see if I have this. In other words, Mr. Martin, your bill and what it intends to do has to do with lowering the fuel tax from 8 cents to 3 cents per gallon.
Yes, ma'am.
In this, of course, would vary then within the various people that use of the users, in as much as the tax is different in various areas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, that's very true.
Such as the water fuel tax is 5 cents a gallon, not eight.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And the tax on aviation gasoline is 4 cents, which would reduce it then to 1 cent a gallon. No, we'd wipe it out.
Well, we
reduce it by 5 cents.
I want to be careful with that we don't wipe it out, because of what Senator Stevens and I, congressional leader also said, that we want to be extremely careful not to wipe it out so we don't jeopardize.
Well, we would be wiping out on certain industries, am I correct? In looking at the bill on line 14,
mm-hmm.
You are suggesting then that it stay at 4 cents a gallon. The tax on aviation gasoline would be at 4 cents a gallon. That's existing law. So your bill would not change that.
No, ma'am, it wasn't meant to do that. It was meant to change the gas tax at the pumps for automobiles, trucks, and stuff like that. The aviation tax, now if we get back into that, because the Department of Revenue told us a thing about that. Memory doesn't serve me well right now, but I wouldn't want to be careful with that and not repealing that completely. And we do have a different flexibility, so we'd like to narrow the decrease to the gasoline.
Yeah, in other words, what I'm attempting to get at here, Mr. Martin, is that your bill then would be primarily aimed at the pumps, not at the aviation, not at the watercraft fuel. Those would stay as they are in existing law.
Yes, ma'am.
Does everyone see the point I was attempting to arrive? Are there other questions for Mr. Martin? You notice on your comparison sheet, this is the most backup that we have on Mr. Martin's bill. Yes.
I have no pride of authorship here within the wisdom of the committee. If it's best to put this within another package of bill, I would have no problems there, because I notice one of the other bills does tax address this particular issue. So if you felt to merge the bills together, I would have no problem.
Fine. Thank you a lot. It would be difficult to enact three fuel taxes. Representative Locker.
I would just like to say that as much as I would like to eliminate nuisance taxes, it concerns me greatly to see that in 1984 it could reduce revenues by $17 million. When I think of the roads or bridges that we could build in South Central Alaska, where most of this motor is used, it concerns me too. We cannot afford to fund these, and yet we are eliminating taxes.
Representative Martin?
I share your concern, but I also share the concern that on one hand, if we're literally giving $170 million, $400 million away, and on the other hand, taking it in the back pocket, we're being less than straight with the public. There is a more straight way. The dividends can be used so that people won't have property taxes, they won't have sales taxes, they won't have income taxes. We must bite the bullet and make them realize the reason we have the dividend is that we allow you a bonus every month in your paycheck by not taxing you. So it's the same way here.
Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. But none of us are thinking right now. We're eliminating taxes from all over the place. And yet our bonded indebtedness continues to rise with no thought whatsoever of paying it off. When does that bubble bust? And it comes right back down on my kids and their kids and your kids, hopefully. And we continue to play games with this stuff by knocking off taxes, by giving out dividends. I'm very concerned about it, and I think that we've got to address this as a whole and start doing something about that before, we seem like we're waiting for our ship to come in, and we've been waiting at the airport. That bothers me. So I
acknowledge you will take it.
Madam Chairman, there is a balance approach we have to address. And I think at one time we struck that, you were the legislator, Mr. Abboud was, when we struck that balance of the dividend program, that this was for the future generations, that they will not be taxed to death in the future because we hope the dividend will help to adjust with the cost of living. Now, for one strange reason, and I did my share in speaking against that giveaway program, and I'll do my share now. Absolutely speaking against the giveaway. Some who voted for it last year may have to readjust what they're doing this year for saying that.
Representative Abboud.
Madam Chairman, to the chair, Representative Martin. This tax that we're eliminating has been going for what? Where has that money been going? Into the general fund?
Yes, sir.
Going into the general fund. So I'm just wondering, if we're coming up with all these millions of dollars, wouldn't it kind of be prudent to say, well, let's leave that nuisance tax, because evidently it is a nuisance, just a nuisance. And now I feel for what we are trying to do. But if it isn't bothering anybody too much, it's just a lot more money going into government, isn't there any way that we as legislators can earmark toward doing something with that other than putting it back into the capital back into the general fund so that more government can be used and more people can be put on and so on and so forth? I just have a lot of heartburn. The tax that we're going to eliminate is going to benefit who? The consumer? The guy at the gas pump, or you and I at the gas pump? Is that who it's going to benefit?
Yes.
I have no problem with that. But
that's exactly it, Madam Chairman. People talk that they say they can spend their money best with the dividend program. I say we shouldn't take it from you in the first place if we don't need it. The probably 15% to 20% after 18% that they're saving now, sure, I realize now they don't realize they save every week on the repeal of personal. Maybe at the pump, when they see it 5 cents a gallon less, they may realize that they personally will have more money for their children's needs, for their family needs. And in the future generation will, again, save by a decrease in cost of living. I definitely believe that. They're going to save directly. It's hard to show them. Maybe after a year when they get used to it, they may forget about it and still wonder if those legislators ever did anything.
Representative Locker?
I would just like to say, Madam Chairman, that I have to agree with Mr. Abboud, and if the people in my district were told you can save 5 cents a gallon on gas as you drive back and forth to Anchorage to work every day, or you can have a four-lane highway so that your people aren't killed, they would choose the four-lane highway. And I would like to see that some way, rather than eliminate these nuisance taxes, and I know that's how people feel about them, that we would somehow direct our administration that we would like to see this money, being it's not needed, it's only a nuisance, right? We're so filthy rich. Let's use this to build the roads and the bridges and airports in the state, rather than putting it back into circulation.
I think we all recognize, or need to recognize, that as far as the revenue obtained from the taxes, present time it goes to the general fund. The only way that can be changed is by a constitutional amendment, because there are no such things as dedicated funds in our Constitution. And so the only way that that could be utilized, other than in the general fund, would have to be a constitutional amendment. In other words, we can't earmark in any way the amount of money that would be saved by having a fuel tax. It will go into the general fund. Representative Booth?
Very happy you brought up. I certainly would want to eliminate it before I want the government to continue to go on getting a nuisance tax there. That settles the problem, as far as I'm concerned. Because I absolutely refuse to open up the Constitution to about anything. There's no telling what will happen in that. If we've got troubles now, where do we open that one up?
Did you have your hand up?
Well, I'd like to talk to the Department of Revenue.
Yes. Oh, I meant to say at the beginning, at the outset of this meeting, the Department of Revenue will be here tomorrow. They could not come today. And this is the reason, one of the reasons we're merely taking testimony on all the bills. Representative Miller?
Representative Martin, and testimony that we had last week on House Bill 150, which was repeal of the tax on watercraft, the Department of Highways, they brought up the statement, our outlook, if we start repealing some of these taxes and cutting back, our outlook on the national scene, what we're perceived as, mainly from Washington, D.C., where we get built substantial dollar amounts, what is your perspective on that? As you know, there's a move in Congress to limit our ability to tax the oil companies. And some of the arguments they're using, Alaska is so rich, they're doing away with their taxes.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I think a lot of it has to do with perspective. The average citizen in the Southern 48 may well appreciate the Alaskan legislator being resourceful enough with the natural resources and with the income there that we are able to allow the average citizen to keep as much money as they privately earn, whereas other states over the years, take Texas, Louisiana, that have received billions and billions in taxes, have still, and from those resources, have still taxed the people very heavily. If in the long run it is seen that Alaska is very prudent with its uses of the resources, money-wise, so that we are not just giving it back to the people, but we are investing it in the future, we're investing it into education, into roads, into basic needs. And at the same time, we are allowing people to keep a maximum amount of their personal income for their personal needs. So I think it's a balance. Any citizen in this state, in this nation, will be more than glad when a legitimate body says, look, we reduced your personal taxes. However, we found another way to use our natural resources to provide the basic needs. We're in trouble, and we were not in trouble. There was very little to say nationwide when we repealed the personal income tax. There was an awful lot said, and still being said, when we literally gave everyone $1,000. And it's going to be repeated this year and next year. If you're worried about your image, I think that's justified, but you better do the rationale necessary to produce a good image.
Follow up, Representative.
Just to follow up on that, I agree with you. Part of our image problem is when we gave away the dividend program. However, part of our image saying, hey, look, they repealed the personal income taxes. They're repealing a lot of individual taxes, which basically, and they're letting the oil companies pay for their state government, which, as some of these taxes repeal, the percentage that the oil companies pick up in state government will become greater. And that is part of their argument. And how would you address that?
Madam Chairman, thank you. Each state has its own resources and its own value within the total national economic system. New York, Maine, other places have things that we live on. Say the economic market itself, Wall Street, the fashion business down there, bringing in billions to that community. And they can adjust it in such a way that the citizens will reap the benefits of their major export, whatever it be, oil, gas, business, Wall Street, television, manufacturing, in Pennsylvania, coal. So one state shouldn't be punished or diminished in its image because it's a little more prudent in the way it uses its resources and benefits the state. We can only be talked against in a negative way when we waste our resources. And here again, I know a lot of people, a lot of legislators are taking the heat. What should we do with the giveaway program? You want to give away, you're going to be forced to tax people in the future. Then maybe there won't be no criticism.
Representative Booth?
Madam Chairman, if we eliminate this particular amount of money, we're not really repealing all of it.
No, sir.
Then that continues to put us still in the position that we will not lose any highway funds from the federal government. Would this, though, put us into, is that true?
Yes, Madam Chairman, right. May, in talking to Senator Stevens about this, this was his suggestion, because originally we had a total repeal, and then, you know, he's done very well with the, for Alaska and highway funds this year with the new tax law. So the balance was not to repeal completely, so we will be in line.
Let me follow up the question I want to ask. Would it be possible that the federal government would consider reducing our federal monies, our highway monies, because we have reduced our taxes? Could they possibly come in with that? I know we can conform, and therefore maybe not lose the federal funds, but do you think that there's a possibility? Did Senator Stevens say anything about reducing our share of it because of
this? Madam Chairman, if I may, very constructive point there, Senator Boone. We had talked about that, and Senator Stevens felt that we would be in no trouble if we lowered that 5 cents. We felt that that would be reasonable. His major concern was the total repeal of the law.
Well, Madam, just one more.
Apologies.
Just a statement. I've seen the federal government do some funny things and reverse their position on a lot of things, and I'm not so sure they may not take this one into consideration. They're after our oil money anyway.
Representative McBride?
My question would be, if we reduce this because it's a nuisance tax, then we've really got more of a nuisance tax than we had before. Because we're collecting a lot less money.
We should run that through me again.
Well, if it's a nuisance tax now, and then we reduce it, it's more of a nuisance. You get less for the nuisance that it's the problems that's causing you to collect the money.
In other words, Representative, what you're saying is that you are reducing the tax, you're not reducing the nuisance value.
That's right. Yeah.
Representative Locker?
Yes, Madam Chairman, that was the point that I wanted to make, and you did it nicely. But I would just like to say that the 5 cents per gallon tax that the President got through the Congress was done for two reasons. One reason was to put people to work, and two was to fix the roads that were in deplorable condition. And both of those reasons are good reasons for the City of Alaska to retain this tax, fix our roads and put people to work. Now, if in fact there is no way to commit funds, somehow working with administration, with the threat that we can repeal this tax if we want to, insisting that this money go into roads rather than into hiring more people and letting the bureaucracy grow, is what we need to do. We still have deplorable roads in this state, and many places where there are no roads, and we still have high unemployment. So, I really...
Do we have any more questions of Representative Martin? He probably has other things that he wishes to do.
No, I enjoy this very much.
You want to stay right here.
Just one, and believe me, it's my concluding statement. But it just seems to me that as some of us have certain beliefs, we're going against the very policies by which the president is establishing to bring work to people. By our highway systems are terrible to begin with, as you well know. We've got to do something about them now before we have to rebuild. So you can add another four times that amount when you've got to rebuild something versus keep it up and resurface it. On. So it seems like we're going against the very philosophy by which the president is established for the nation. And here we sit out over here knocking off everything. And that, I guess that gives me a little heartburn.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Let's bring up one question, if I may. In drafting this bill, we've been back and forth in the last Section 3 and what's been repealed and what has not been repealed. And we finally again, from the legal division, have a comment that line 28, 43.40040 had been previously repealed. So I'm going to bring that to your attention. Tomorrow the comment will call.
Yes, I think our comparison sheet shows that.
Well, I don't have a line 28.
Indicates that.
Madam Chairman?
Yes,
I don't have a line 28.
You think it's lived the right bill?
Oh, no. Well. Do I have to take that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Martin.
Oh, well, can I get one in my pack?
Is that on 55?
I don't, yes.
Yeah, but
I don't have one in my pack.
She doesn't have a spot.
But I took mine home for homework last night, and that's probably what happened.
That could be.
Go home and get it.
Yes.
Not
no, I took this packet home, and so that's right. The staff didn't have a chance to put it in. That's okay. That's okay. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on HB 50? Mr. Copenham, is that Representative Copenham, is that the one you wish to testify on?
Well,
would you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Representative Copenham, and I'm representing District 21, which is Central Alaska. As a farmer, I do keep track of my expenditures on the highway taxes because they can be deducted from the federal income tax, and it runs to a little over $200 a year. However, I believe Louis the 14th Director of Revenue said that tax is one that is like plucking the goose to take a feather every now and then instead of all at once. And I must admit that paying the federal income tax at one fell in April is a lot more painful than paying roughly 8 cents for every gallon. Also pay about $1.48 per gallon for motor fuel tax in Fairbanks at the present time, or at least when I left to come down here.
You mean $1.48 a gallon at the pump that you pay for gas?
At the pump. And that's Alaska royalty gas, which I think we pay about, which we get, the state gets about 40 cents a gallon when we sell it. So the increment doesn't go to the state. I wouldn't find the reduction of 8 cents down to $1.40 as significant as if we could reduce it down to some reasonable increment over what the state is getting for its royalty oil, say 80 cents a gallon. If we could do that, that would really be significant, I think. Study by Frank DeLong and Lloyd Purnella, who used to be the director of North Pole Refinery, indicates that the refiners operating in the monopoly market in Alaska are taking a significant bite out of the consumer's dollar with the prices they're charging, and they're not exactly, the state is not charging them excessively for the raw material. Prices are higher than the import. importation from the West Coast with freight included would be. So I think that the private tax being levied is significantly greater than that levied by the state. I asked the House Research, Department of Revenue, and other agencies for various figures, some of which I've gotten. In fiscal year 82, the state spent approximately $299,677,711 on highway maintenance and repair. When you add in the cities of Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, other municipalities, the boroughs, it comes up to approximately $230 million spent in fiscal year 1982. The same year, you had 3,041,637 motor vehicles, around 342,000 motor vehicles, motor scooters to Kenworth. And we had 251,514 licensed drivers. If you divide the expenditures for that year between motor vehicles, each motor vehicle cost the state or was received essentially a subsidy in highway cost of $671.10. Each licensed driver received a subsidy from the state of $876.27. This is just straight out division. Now, we weren't able to break it. We subtracted all the federal monies that we had could catch, but that does still include, on the state share, a significant portion of state money and federal money that come later. So that pushes that figure somewhat, so it's not precise. Also, a lot of the highway construction is paid for from the front end, because you need a lump of money to let a contract, from bonding. And as many of you know, we are number one in the United States in our bonded indebtedness per capita. And that comes out of the general fund. And the reason that many states have increased their motor fuel tax, and the United States has increased its motor fuel tax, is that the fuel taxes are not paying the anticipated share of the cost of the National Highway Act, the highway that was started in the Eisenhower days, nor are they paying for the cost and maintenance of highways and roads in the various states. Some of the state turnpikes, West Virginia and others, have gone belly up because they didn't. There's not enough money coming in. Well, in the same year, fiscal year 1982, the highway tax, the 8 cents a gallon, brought in $20,300,000. If you take that as a proportion of the amount spent in the same year, the highway fuel taxes paid 8.9%, or about close to 9% of the highway expenditures in that year. We do subsidize many programs, and we try to do it on the basis of either equity to all of our citizens, or on the basis of developmental needs for the state. You know, we're building things for the future, roads, schools, education, public facilities, economic development, as it is, so that the expenditure for highway, both construction and maintenance, is obviously a major investment of the state, a major need. It holds the state together. It's what permits commerce to flow and the like. It can't be, and you can't knock on that. But the Department of Revenue estimates that for each $1 drop in the world oil price, the state of Alaska loses $150 million. In revenue. So you can say almost that for each 40 cent drop in the oil price will wipe out any of the money that we get from the highway. I think I sympathize with the feeling that we should do away with nuisance taxes, but I think that fiscal responsibility requires us to look very carefully at any such reduction. Perhaps a redistribution of it, recapture for trucking in remote areas, that is, off the major highway net or along the roads that are less used, recapture for fuel taxes for public transportation, any number of those kinds of things I think would help. But you have to know how much of a subsidy you're doing and for what purpose you're applying, other than just a general across the board reduction doesn't necessarily serve the purposes you want. It's easier, but if you don't know what the impact is going to be, you figure out what impact you want to have, like supporting truckers who are having a tough time, then you can approach it from that angle and figure it out much more carefully. But again, we do have to pay off our bonded indebtedness. It's something that is what, in many cases, not in all cases, people of the state are awfully eager to vote yes on bonds, and many of these things are things that we need. But we have to remember that that was a front-end expenditure for things that we have now that we have to continue to pay off. We can't find ourselves in a situation in some states and many cities have found themselves going for big projects, and then when the bill comes in years later, finding nothing in the city to pay for it.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions, Mr. Kopanen? If not, thank you very much, Nilo. We appreciate your testimony. As I said, we're taking testimony on primarily the two bills, 55 and 40. We have T.J. Thrasher, American Trucking Association. Did you wish to
testify? No, I
wanted to
be there.
Yeah, yeah. He won't be here till tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on then over to, is there any further testimony on 50?
No.
Who's on 40? Let's look then at 40 and look at your comparison sheet again. And I believe Jeff Day, Representative Hayes, could not be here. He's the prime sponsor of the bill. Jeff Day will testify.
For the record, Madam Chairman, committee members, I am Jeff Day. I'm the staff assistant to Representative Hayes, who is the prime sponsor of House Bill 40. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 40, which would repeal entirely the motor fuel tax, AS-4340. And I thank you, he thanks you for scheduling the bill relatively early in the session. He had other duties which detained him this morning and asked me to testify on his behalf. The committee, as you said, has several pieces of legislation before it which address the motor fuel tax in a number of ways, from eliminating the tax on watercraft to lowering the motor fuel tax in House Bill 55, as Representative Martin suggested. There is a bill around, I don't know if it's in this committee or not, which would increase the motor fuel tax during a specific part of the year. And then there is Representative Hayes' bill here, which does away with the tax entirely. There could be some comment that you're dealing with a very taxing situation, but I was going to make that because it's too early to
like
think about that. You like the bear comment. You heard the argument last Friday from Representatives Grusendorf and Jaroff for repeal of the tax on fuel used in or on watercraft, and the speaker concurs in those arguments. I won't repeat them today. You've heard them, and he supports that legislation as well, as it's addressed in this bill is in the same way. Some of those same reasons can be applied to the tax on aviation fuel. That tax is expected to bring the state about $5.4 million in FY84. And clearly, that's a very small portion of the overall revenue picture for the state. The Department of Revenue has also estimated in the book, which I It's the red book which the committee staff has. That the watercraft fuel tax would bring about $4 million. The major tax, of course, that this bill impacts is the highway fuel tax, the 8 cents per gallon tax. And it's estimated the tax would bring the state about $21 million this year. So altogether, the total impact of repealing the motor fuel tax entirely would be a loss of revenue to the state of $30 million. That is roughly 1% of the state's total revenue picture. And that is the key question of $30 million that this bill impacts. However, the loss of revenue to the state via $30 million means $30 million more, either directly or indirectly, in the pockets of Alaskan consumers. I mean, it does not go to the government. It means the cost of air travel should be less in a state which is very dependent on commercial and private air travel. It means that the operation of mass transit systems in the state should be less, and in those communities where we have those transit systems, we all know they are heavily subsidized by local government. I know they are in Anchorage. When I lived in Fairbanks, I know they were heavily subsidized in Fairbanks. The elimination of the tax would lower the cost of fuel in turn, which should lower the cost of operation of those systems, which lowers the burden on our local governments to subsidize those mass transit systems. It means that the average consumer of motor fuels would receive additional money, directly and indirectly, which in turn would be put into the economy in other ways. It's not like the $30 million simply disappears in midair. Repeal of the taxes, as you have discussed, does not mean there will be fewer ports. It does not mean there will be fewer airport improvements or road improvements, necessarily. While the statutes do establish separate accounts within the general fund for watercraft, aviation, and highway fuel taxes, the money is simply part of the overall general fund. We asked Department of Revenue to be here today. I spoke with them yesterday. They had indicated they would be here today, and I know you have a lot of questions, as do we, in following the bill. And I'll be here tomorrow, and I'm sure a lot of your technical questions will be answered then. But what I've been told, they are not dedicated revenues. As the chairman so stated, you cannot dedicate revenues unless you amend the Constitution. The statutes say, in 4340.010, for example, the proceeds from the revenue of the tax on motor fuel used in boats and watercraft of all descriptions shall be deposited in the special watercraft fuel tax account in the general fund. The legislature may appropriate from this account for water and harbor facilities. In appropriations bills for transportation projects, you never see the sum of $200 million that's appropriated from the special account on watercraft fuel for the construction of a harbor. It always says it's appropriated from the general fund. That money is simply general fund money. It's part of the overall budget of the state. And I'm simply trying to clarify in your minds that simply repealing $30 million that goes into so-called transportation accounts does not mean there will be $30 million less in transportation projects. Okay. As Representative Kopanen pointed out, the legislature clearly appropriates more than $30 million annually for transportation-related projects. I believe he stated in FY82 it was about $230 million. The state, just from those three accounts, that only accounted for about 8.9% of that total figure. So the state clearly has shown a commitment to transportation projects. In connection with that, Representative Martin pointed out potential problems with federal revenue sharing if we repealed the tax entirely. While I have not personally had the benefit of speaking with Senator Stevens, I would make two general comments. First, on the image problem that Representative Miller referred to, I don't think the repeal of an 8 cent and 5 cent tax is going to generate the front page stories on the Wall Street Journal that a $1,000 giveaway did. I don't think you're going to have the serious image problems with a repeal or a reduction of this tax that the repeal of our income tax caused, or that the permanent fund dividend problem caused. There will be those that realize we're repealing taxes and that may believe that we're showing a lack of state commitment to transportation projects, I suggest the budget in the past and this current budget that's being prepared is the proof against that, the fact that we're spending over $200 million a year, and I believe we will with or without this tax. A transportation-related project clearly shows the state is committed to putting in its share of transportation projects. And I don't know the specific procedures of federal revenue sharing laws, I'm simply trying to point out that a strong case can certainly be made. Alaska is not going to lessen its commitment to transportation simply by repealing these taxes. As I said, repeal of the tax does not necessarily mean there'll be $30 million less for transportation capital-oriented projects. It does mean, though, there is $30 million less for state government, state bureaucracy, to provide government services of some sort. Certainly, the Speaker believes that if we repeal the $30 million, that the public should expect, as a result, $30 million in government services. They will have that $30 million for themselves in other ways than the government deciding how to spend it. Briefly, to touch on House Bill 55, you have discussed that and you have it before you today. That does reduce the highway motor fuel from 8 cents per gallon to 5 cents per gallon. It does not discuss the aviation or the watercraft fuel tax. It's possible that something along the lines of Representative Martin's bill may be a compromise in this entire area if this committee wishes to address the reduction of this tax. The Speaker has stated that he would prefer to see all the taxes dealt with in some way, as it would be more equitable or more fair rather than just selecting one tax and reducing that. As a minimum, he stated he hoped this committee would endorse that concept of reducing all the taxes and eliminate the so-called cumbersome refund procedures, which are in effect. I believe there's a few representatives around here which have some concern with the paperwork that the refund procedures of the highway tax are causing. I know Department of Revenue will speak to that tomorrow. We've had some comments addressed to our office. I believe, Representative McBride, you're somewhat familiar with some of the refund procedures. At best, the Speaker stated he hoped you would adopt House Bill 40, which would eliminate the so-called nuisance tax altogether. The basic question is simply, who gets the $30 million? Does the state get it to provide government services? Do the people get it directly and indirectly, which in turn benefits them, their personal economy, benefits the state economy in other ways? And that money would then be retained by Alaskans and put into the marketplace in other ways. And along that line, and just reaching my conclusion, a number of you ran on the premise that the state government was too large, that the budget should be cut. If you do not endorse the concept of the reduction of the tax or the repeal of the tax, in a sense, you are endorsing the concept that the state does need more money, the budget is fine, it does not need to be cut. Whereas if you agree with the general philosophy of repealing or reduction of the taxes, then you're saying the state really doesn't need this money. The budget is too large. It needs to be cut in some way. So in a sense, though you're not the finance committee, you're dealing with the budget. You're dealing with a $30 million portion of that budget. Your action indicates in some way whether you believe that budget is right at its current level, whether we need more money, or whether you believe the reduction of the tax is appropriate because it reduces the state budget. And I remember when Governor Hammond pushed through the dividend program, he said, the people should spend this money. They deserve it. They know how to better spend it if they received it directly. And he also stipulated that if the people receive their permanent fund dividend, that they should expect that $150 million that program costs per year less in government services. However, in reality, we saw the dividend concept put into effect, and we also saw the budget go up by about $150 million. So his concept did not go into effect. He gave the permanent fund dividend, and he also let the budget go up. You have a chance to reduce the taxes and let the people, again, decide directly. And in turn, we should expect the budget to go down by $30 million. Now, if you follow that argument, I think it's legitimate. I tried to make it as clear as I could. And just in conclusion, I would say we asked the Department of Revenue to be here. I know there's a number of technical questions.
They will be here tomorrow.
And I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll try and deal with the questions you have as well as I can. But Revenue will have to answer some of the technical ones.
I think Representative Blocker had it.
Well, just a couple of things that I might say that the witness did a beautiful job. However, I would have to say that his concept is right in line with our ex-governor, the fact that $30 million less in the budget, or less in revenues would mean $30 million in a smaller budget. If I really believed that, I probably could vote yes. But I really don't believe that any more than I believed our previous governor. However, one thing that he did say was that, and I need to ask you again, did you not say that you hardly ever see a bill, an appropriation bill, that says that the money is appropriated from a specific fund, but it's always from the general fund?
In generally speaking, yes, it comes from the general fund.
Is that for capital projects when you see those?
Yes.
Appropriation for bridges?
I haven't seen a bridge bill lately. I know I saw an appropriation bill for a road project in Anchorage the other day. The specific language was the sum of $2.179 million is appropriated from the general fund, the Department of Transportation, for a specific road project.
Then, Madam Chair, I would suggest that the witness has made my point that we can use general fund money to build roads and bridges if we so desire. It doesn't necessarily have to go into enlarging the bureaucracy. I just certainly hope that the governor hears it.
If I could just follow up, I would agree that you cannot dedicate the funds, as the chairman stated. It would be nice if we knew those $30 million was going to road projects. Certainly a lot more is. But I'll just leave it at that.
Representative Miller?
I have a couple questions. First of all, you started to address it, but then I feel that you didn't address it. And that was, what is going to happen with our federal highway money if we repeal motor tax completely? I don't really feel that, I feel that you started to address it, but somewhere along the line, you lost me.
The reason I may not have followed through on that is I have not, as I said, talked to Senator Stevens. I am making an assumption until I can talk to him, and the committee may wish to talk to him in some way by teleconference or committee staff. I simply made the assumption first that I don't know what the federal revenue sharing procedures are, if we're endangering something there. I do not believe we are, but I have no evidence one way or the other. The point I simply made is that the state has shown its commitment to transportation. We're going to pay our share of those projects, say for Diamond Boulevard or Minnesota Drive in Representative Hayes' area. The state will still pay for that. And the state certainly can make a good case for itself by showing it has a multi-million dollar commitment to transportation and is not expecting the federal government to increase its share of road projects in Alaska simply because we're getting rid of this tax. Agreed, that question needs to be looked into first.
Would you care, like, carry through?
Well, this is more of an editorial comment than anything. However, you alluded to somewhat in your statement, and the first speaker we had alluded to somewhat, and that is that if we don't repeal the tax, that we can't trust our citizens with $30 million. However, in the same breath, we say with the permanent fund dividends, we got to do away with it because we can't trust them with $400 million. So I just don't, I feel a little conflict of ideas there. We're saying that we can trust them with $30 million, but we can't trust them with $442 million. So I'll let it go with that.
All right. Representative Jones, do you have a question?
No.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Fett? All right. We shall anticipate your return tomorrow. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for testifying. Is there any further testimony on HB 40, HB 55, or HB 150?
I just want to make a comment. I do really want to talk to you after that.
Yeah, Yes, I feel very definitely that we need to listen to revenue. They couldn't be here today for what reason, I don't know. But they will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Representative Locker?
Would you follow up with our senators? Senator
revenue.
Stevens and
right.
Thank you.
Very definitely. Then if there's no further testimony to come before the committee, we will declare this committee meeting adjourned.